I want to share with you this morning two passages of Scripture that are related to one another. And one is from the New Testament and one is from the Old Testament. So first of all, I want you to 1 John chapter 5. It says there in verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It says in verse 9. Remember what we read in 1 John 5 and 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. It says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. These two verses, what we read in 1 John 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And reading along with this, that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. And that's something that we can keep in mind, that God is looking all over the earth for those that he can strongly support. And we see an example here in King Asa, when he began very well. We see in chapter 14 that when he began his reign in verse 2, he says, Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord. Many things that he did. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, to observe the law and commandments. And then in chapter 15, God encouraged Asa. He said, now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And it says in their distress, verse 4, the people turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him and let them find him. And verse 7, God says through his prophet, he says to Asa, you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. That's the encouragement that God gave to Asa. He began very well, but when he was in the beginning, when he was faced with a situation in chapter 14, it says there in verse 9, Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Marishah. So Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. Then Asa called to the Lord and listened to his prayer. He said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And so the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gera. And they destroyed, verse 14, all the cities. And this is what God did for him. This is how he began. But In another situation, you know, he began well, but when he was faced with another trial, he reigned 40 years in Judah, and 35 of those years he trusted the Lord, he relied on God, and towards the end of his life and towards the end of his reign, in the last 5 years, Asa went completely off track. He left the paths of God. He stopped relying on God, began to trust in his success. God had blessed him. It had gone well with him. He did many things. He trusted in his achievements. And we see what happened there. When he was met with another trial, which was far less than what he had faced earlier, and he made a treaty with the king of Israel, Baasha, and gave him silver and gold. Now he had become wealthy. Now he had a lot of silver and gold to make a treaty. He didn't need to rely on God. And that's what happens, you know, when it goes well with us, and we seem to forget the days when God helped us, when we relied on Him, and then we began to rely on other things. We rely on our achievements. We rely on our prosperity, and we forget God. And that's what happened with Asa. And it says there in verse 7, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram, have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. And then he reminds him, he says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubin an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then we read that word, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And he says, you've acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on you will have wars. And that's what happens. You read three times there that the prophet reminds him. He says, because you relied on somebody else instead of relying on God. And remember the other trial you faced, a far greater trial than what you're facing now, but you relied on God. And he says, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered you out of your hand. And then the eyes of the Lord moved through and forth throughout the whole earth. At one time, God's eyes were fixed on Asa. But now he began to trust in other things. He began to trust in his achievements. He made a treaty with another man instead of trusting God. And the prophet reminds him, he says, you've acted foolishly. From now on you will have wars. And that's what happens when we stop trusting God, when we begin to rely on other things, we rely on our achievements, our abilities, and then there is war. Wars come. We have wars in the home. We have wars in the office. We have wars with others because we don't trust God anymore. We don't rely on Him. We read that word, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And when we trust God, when we rely on Him wholly for everything, not just the beginning of our life, not just when we are in difficulties, not just when things go well, but all through our life, that we can end our life well and not be like Asa. He began very well, 35 of those years, He lived for God. He trusted in God. But in the remaining 5 years, he stopped relying on God and he began to rely on other things. And it says there, even when he was sick, you know, in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 16, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. And That's how he ended his life. He did not repent. He did not turn back to God. And all the years that he trusted the Lord and relied on God, it meant nothing now. Now he relied on, he had a lot of money to go to the doctors. He says when he was diseased in his feet, he did not seek the Lord, but the doctors. There's no sin in going to a doctor. There's no sin in taking medicine. But we rely on God. We trust in God. And if we trust in Him, God is on our side. But sadly, Asa ended his life badly. And he died. Died in unbelief. Died without trusting God. What a sad end. And that's what we need to take heed to our own lives. We may begin well, it may be going well, but how do we end? That's what matters. How do I end my life? Do I end my life trusting in God? Even though it has gone well, God has blessed me, blessed my family, blessed my children have grown up, got jobs, got married. And now, how is it with me? Has my trust and faith increased or has it waned? Has it become less? Now I don't need to rely on God. I don't need to trust Him. And God's eyes are no longer fixed on such people. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, it says, throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong on behalf of those who completely trust Him. And God is looking for such people, my brothers and sisters, in these last days. Whether we will be willing to trust Him for not just in the difficult times, not just when it goes well, but all through my life, it'll be one of trust and faith. Then God's eyes will always be fixed on me. And that is what God calls us to. And that's what God is looking for today. He's looking for those whose hearts are completely belong to Him. And when we stop trusting God, like I said, we begin to have wars. God is allowing such situations only to bring us to a place where we will come back and learn to trust Him. It's not that He is humiliating us or punishing us. And so God is reminding us of the way we began our life. And maybe somewhere along the way we go astray. May God help us and really see whether we are continuing in faith or do we just understand certain truths in the church? Do we just know the truth? Has the truth that I have come to know set me free? Do I really believe in the truth? Do I really have faith in the truth? That's what matters. I believe a lot of us here know the truth. Most of us sitting here, if you've been coming to this church, you know the truth. A lot of us understand the truth, but how many of us believe in the truth? How many of us have faith in the truth? How do I know that? When I look at my life, I see that the truth I heard and all that I've heard in this church has affected my life. My life has got better. I learned to trust God. I learned to rely on Him. And I end my life well. You look at a word in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. It says there, God has chosen us from the beginning for salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. It says, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. God has chosen us from the beginning. That encourages my heart. That God has chosen me from the beginning for salvation. But is that all? How does God do that? It says through sanctification by the Spirit. The Spirit sanctifies us. And faith in the truth. Not an understanding of truth. A lot of us here understand the truth. But having faith in the truth, believing in the truth, is quite a different thing. That is what affects my life. That is what makes me always cast on God, that I rely on Him. And God has chosen you and me for that. That I can be sanctified, that I can have faith in the truth and be in that number that God one day will take to Himself. That is our calling, my brothers and sisters. We've heard this word through the years in the church. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect Him. And the question I ask myself, where are my priorities? Where are my eyes? Where are my eyes fixed? Are my eyes fixed on Jesus or my eyes fixed on other things? Are my eyes fixed on making more money? My eyes fixed on property? My eyes fixed on becoming big in this world? Or do I fix my eyes on Jesus? That is what, if I am to overcome the world, I can only overcome by faith. And God has to put that faith in my heart. How do I get that faith? We have heard also many times, if you go to Hebrews in chapter 12, it says that we look away from everything else. Fixing, it says in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Looking away from everything else and everyone else, on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that is where my eyes are to be all the time. If I am to have this faith, Jesus said, when He comes, will He find this faith on the earth? The faith that will help me to overcome the world. We read in 1 John chapter 5. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Do I have that faith in my heart? That is what I need to ask myself. Oh, I have faith for a lot of other things, but I don't have faith to overcome. The message today in the church and the message that Jesus gave to the seven churches in Revelation through John, overcome. And the message that we have heard through the years is overcome. Not just be saved, but overcome. How do I overcome? We read that very clearly. I overcome the world by faith, not by gritting my teeth, not by determination, not by listening to messages, reading the Bible and praying. All that is good. It's good to read the Bible, it's good to pray, it's good to seek God. But I need to have faith. All this must help me to have faith. Because I can overcome only by faith. And Jesus calls you and me to overcome. And if I have that spirit in my heart, then the eyes of the Lord are fixed on me. And His eyes will always remain on me right till the end of my life. Because I rely on Him, I trust on Him. I trust in Him. Not be like Asa, who began well. I want you to see something there. Very ironical there. He lived 35 good years, trusting, relying on the Lord. But in the remaining 5 years, he turned away, began to rely on other things, and began to rely on the arm of flesh, on man. And when he was sick, when he had a disease in his feet, he went to the doctors. And he died. The sad thing is, he died in unbelief. He died without relying on God. But he had taken care to make a grand tomb for himself. It says there in verse 14, it says they buried him in his own tomb, which he had cut out for himself in the city of David. And they laid him in the resting place, which he had filled with spices of various kinds, blended by the perfumer's art. And they made a very great fire for him. What was the use that from that tomb, from his dead body came a good smell? Whereas the remaining 5 years, there was a stench of pride and unbelief and conceit and arrogance. We were looking a couple of Sundays ago to be on guard against arrogance, against conceit. We have been grafted into the rich root of the olive tree. I must never forget that. And I can receive of the rich sap of the olive tree. I can receive from Jesus. I can drink from him the water of life. But let me never forget, like we saw, we stand only by faith. So I should not be arrogant. I should not be conceited. I stand only by faith. I overcome only by faith. And what is the use of having a grand funeral? What is the use of all the smell that came, the beautiful smell that came from his tomb, from his dead body? When, like we read this word in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. This is how we are called to live on this earth. In verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. It says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests to us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? We are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. That's how we are to live on this earth. That I let Christ triumph over me. Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Has Christ triumphed over your life, my brothers and sisters? Has Christ triumphed over my life? Does he have control of my will? Have I surrendered completely to him? Then it'll be like this. This is how it will be. My life will be a sweet aroma. There will be a scent. I don't have to, like what Asa did. What was the good of all the expensive perfumes that he put when the remaining 5 years there was a stench of death, of unbelief and pride and conceit that came from his life? What is the good of that? If I have not lived the life that God has called me to live here, where Christ triumphs over me. And the picture there is, I understand that in the Roman conquerors, when they conquered their enemies, they took them captive through the streets in chains. And that's the picture that Christ has triumphed over us. He's not taken us in chains. He's taken us captive. He's set us free. And he leads us in triumph, that we can live our life where my life gives off a perfume. What's the good of using expensive perfumes if in my home, the life I live, there is a stench? There's quarreling and fighting, there are wars. What is the good if I can use all the perfumes and aftershaves, when I go to the office, I give off a stench there. I get into conflict. Then Christ has not triumphed over me. I have to see that somewhere along the way I've left the path of life, I left the path of faith, I began to trust and rely on other things. May God help us, my brothers and sisters. God is looking. He's searching all over the earth today for those whose hearts are completely his. I hope and pray that there'll be some on you and me, that he fixes his eyes this morning. That he finds in us that we want to live, we want to overcome by faith. That is our calling, and may God help us. We have come to the 11th hour. We would say that the last minute of the time when Jesus will return, and he's looking for those whose hearts are completely his, or not set on other things, that we want to live and surrender completely to Jesus. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And may God put that faith in your heart and mine. And may God make your life and my life a fragrance, that wherever we go, we give off a fragrance. Our homes, there's a fragrance of Christ, because we have made him Lord over our life, because he has triumphed over us. May God help us. And really help us to be those people that he will be able to commit himself to and fulfill His purpose in our generation. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. We read about Asa that Asa began well, and we saw that in the beginning of his life, within 10 years of his kingly career, when the enemy came against him, an army of a million men or a huge number of chariots, we read that in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11, Asa called to the Lord and said, we heard this in the morning, Lord, there is no one beside you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against us. And God did that in Asa's life. He began well. He began well, and you see that parallel in his life. Right in the beginning of his kingly career, there was this huge war, this great victory that God made against this army of a million men. And then we heard again about 35, 36 years later, how when the king of Israel blockaded him, there was again the same situation. God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. But in Asa's case, he began with faith. And towards the end of his life, he went back to what he saw, his scheming, his strategy. When he came against this king of Israel, he went with the resources that he had. He took out money and treasure from the treasury of the Lord, and he gave it to the king of Syria. Ben-Hadad was his name. And using his diplomatic strategy and his scheming, he tried to form a solution. In the short run, it worked. The king of Israel closed his blockade and went away. In the short run, it seemed like everything worked out. But God's ways is not like man's ways. We read in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram of Syria has escaped out of your hand. In verse 9, the last part we read, you have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on you surely will have wars. God had called Asa to greater things. He had called him even to have peace and conquer the king of Syria. But he was so taken up by, you know, he was struggling with flesh and blood. He was always trying to keep up with the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel blockaded him, he gave up on all that. He went with his own plans, his own strategy, and he forgot about the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God which would have taken him much higher than that. And instead of walking by faith, instead of growing higher and higher in faith, we see at the end of his life, it's a pitiable thing, right? We read about Asa and his deathbed. And even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he seeked the physicians. Asa began well, but finished badly. I was thinking of another man who began very badly and finished well. I'm thinking of Jacob the deceiver, the supplanter who became Israel, the prince of God. I want to read from Genesis 47 verse 31. And we see there Israel in his deathbed. And we see something so remarkable. His eyesight was weak. He was weak. But it says to him that Israel bowed in worship at the head of his bed. That's how we should finish, my brothers. It says about Israel that in Genesis 39, we read Israel's last words to his 12 sons. And there in Genesis 49, verse 28, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. And he blessed them, everyone, with a blessing appropriate with them. That's how God wants us to finish. To bless our children with a blessing appropriate with them. He blessed everyone he came across. He met the Pharaoh and he blessed the Pharaoh. He was a weak man. He was at the very end of his life. He walked constantly with that with the crutch, with that, with the staff. And we read about that in Hebrews 11:21. The great triumph of faith in Israel's life, Jacob's life, was this. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By the time he finished his life, he had come to such a life of dependence. Asa came to such a life of independence, and he paid the price. But Israel, Jacob, he depended on the Lord. He leaned on the Lord, and there was something really precious that came out of it. One of Asa's challenges was he was struggling with men. He was trying to keep up and to outwit the king of Israel. I wanted to share from Isaiah 2 verse 22. There's a warning that we should all take heed there. Isaiah 2 verse 22. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. Why should he be esteemed? God has called us not to be in fear of man. God has called us not to live before man, not to keep up with man. What is man whose breath is in his nostrils? God reminds us of that right in the beginning of Genesis when he created Adam. It says there in Genesis 2 verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Because God breathes on us, because of his breath in us, that makes us different. Otherwise, we are just mud. Otherwise, we are just like every other animal. There's a beautiful situation right in the end of the Gospels, John chapter 20, where we read a parallel to this. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. This is one of the last words of Jesus. So Jesus said to his disciples, peace be with you. The Father has sent me, and as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. God has called us to come into a dependence on him. As we grow older in life, let us grow in dependence on him. This was one of the last words of Jesus to his disciples. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. We have such need of the Holy Spirit. God has called us to grow in need, to grow in dependence. 1 Corinthians, I want to end with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. It says there, the first Adam, for the first man Adam, we read about him, became a living soul. He became a living soul when God breathed into him. The last Adam, is referring to Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. God wants us, my brother and sister, to depend on our Lord Jesus Christ, to know him as a life-giving spirit. I can't do it myself. He can do it. So should be our breath as we end our lives on this earth. He wants us to grow in dependence. And that was what I believe when Jacob leaned on his staff and worshipped. Jacob leaned on his staff and he worshipped. He ended well. He learned to depend. He learned to grow in faith. He learned to grow in dependence. And because of that, he ended well. I want to end with a few verses in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. It talks about this life of dependence on Christ. I'm only going to read a few phrases from there. Verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steady, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to end like this, to end well, to depend on him, to grow in dependence. May he do that in us. Amen.